Inside AC is part of Khadir Galleria Anticamera, a cultural programming project that encourages critical thinking and debate about architecture. Through radio broadcasts, artist residencies, workshops, and exhibitions, the project explores architecture in its broadest and most holistic sense. With a focus on community and integration, Anticamera seeks to foster dialogue between architectural practices, visual arts, institutions, and society, creating a shared space that promotes experimentation and participation. Inside AC showcases these intersections and provides a new auditory perspective on Anticamera's exhibitions, workshops, or installations.
The present exhibition here in the gallery comes from a previous project that I consider the beginning of this research. And it started through a personal experience that was the death of a close friend. I started looking for the memory objects, and looking at the pictures, I couldn't recognize this person through the pictures, or myself, or our relation. So the memory that I had from this person, I couldn't find in the pictures that I had from him. In another way, I had some voice messages in my phone. And through the voice, I immediately felt the presence of this person. So this was the trigger that raised the question about the idea of creating a sound portrait, and also made me think about the voice as an ID, as an extension of the body. And then I started thinking of the body as a place, as a space, an acoustic space, because the voice and the air that goes through the body, it comes with the specific things that are happening inside this place. So inspired by the acoustic ecologies, I started studying or researching this body or this human being with the same principles or the same techniques that these acoustic ecologists use to analyze a landscape or a place. So that's how it started. And here, the idea is to raise the idea of an expanded human body through sound, with many different layers, like the inner layer and the collective layer and many others.
Ooh, it's so interesting, this micro and macro world, these three layers and how your project moves through them. Can you tell us like more about?
So to organize this human being through sound, I started creating or identifying three main layers. So the first layer is the inner layer, that I have called it inner biophony, which correspond to the organism functioning in itself, like all the world that we have inside of us, with cells and organs and everything going on. And the second layer is what emerged from the inside. So it's the intimate sounds, and also the breath and all the things that come from the inside out. I have called it emergent biophony. And the third layer, it's social anthropophony, which it corresponds to the collective sounds, the cultural sounds, the sounds of the interaction between humans. So all these three layers resonate in each other, and they are connected, so, and they interfere in each other. And the shape of this human body is all the time being transformed. So the middle layer, which we have the three drawings in the wall here at the gallery. The middle layer is imagining that we are a small being living in the skin, and we are listening to all the sounds that comes from the interior. So the fluids and the, like the, and the breathings, like the and also the contact of the skin with each other and with the world, the contact of the body with the world. And so I have imagined this body as a planet or as a world with this material. And after identifying and creating soundscapes that belongs to each one of these layers, I have discovered some images of what is going on in this body. First, I thought about the water, about the shape, trying to find a shape for this human body, of the chasing some shape, the need that we have to have a form, a picture of things. Even when I'm trying to create a sound portrait, I again chase an image, a score, a drawing. I think there's no shape for this expanded human body that exists in others and interactions. So how can you get the notion of it? And so the water is something like this that flows through nature. It has always different shapes, and we cannot draw it. We can try, but so it started through there. And then as well about the acoustic, when I was recording with the mic against my body, I realized that there's many sounds of water, the fluids going inside when we are digesting something. So many of the sounds that I have collected are liquid. And to create this connection that the water goes through all the layers, and that we also exist in these layers with different acoustics. If I could share the water that comes from the outside and invite the public, or the people participating in the performance, to drink the water while they were listening to the water in the speakers, and they were listening also to the water inside their bodies, and also because there are some drops that you hear, so you don't know if it is outside or inside. So it was to make the audience think about it, about this connection of the interior and the exterior. Yes.
I think that you succeeded in the idea of in the idea or sense of a shape, mm-hmm. you know, not a shape, but the sense of giving shape, mm-hmm. in the sense, like you said, all of your, so Bernie Krause, his three layers of the
anthropophony,
the biophony, and the geophony. Water flows and cycles and lives through all of these in a cycle. Mm-hmm. And then in your inner biophony, emergent biophony, and macro anthropophony,
social
water, the social anthropophony. Water also lives and cycles. And you could say air does as well.
Yes.
But it wouldn't give the sense of shape. It's something that happens. Mm-hmm. So as an art piece as well, you gave it a sense of performance and ritual, and you gave it a sense of a shape, one that we can see, one that's shared with us, and then within the work, it adds taste and touch and smell even. And mm-hmm. then because the water is a different temperature than our inside, we have the sense of it coating down through that. So it's sort of tracing our inside, mm-hmm. tracing these organs and areas that you had recorded. So I found myself listening to the different stages, your different spaces in the sound mm-hmm. piece, the sound elements in the work, but also experiencing my own
body
inside, mm-hmm. inner biophony mm-hmm. through the touch of this cold liquid, giving that a shape.
Yes, intention is kind of activating the idea, because there are lots of sounds that go through the layers as the air that you were saying. Even the technology, that the recording and the real sounds, so everything, it's to give the idea of these connections. Mm-hmm.
I was so moved, like really, mm-hmm. I know that sounds heavy, but I really was. I was so moved by how the interaction between the piece and the space and its ideal location for this being not just having a window, not just having a road outside, but having, you know, this very socially active, very used, active, life-filled corner. Mm-hmm. It's really about the corner, because then with Mariana's, yes, surround sound design, you have outside these windows, outside the space, you have these sounds coming in of people and conversations. And Mariana, you were pointing out the different cultures too. You have different bits of language, and then the buses that
music,
were on like a schedule.
On cars.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so different than I was imagining this piece, which would work also, but it would be different if this was what a lot of sound artists initially think, like, I need a completely quiet space. You can hear every little bit of the piece. So it could be a part of the context, but it could be a part of control also. But if that were the case with Mariana's piece, it would be a very different experience. There would be an intimacy, for sure, because it would be so much more about Mariana's body and us experiencing the sound and sounding of this emergent body, instead of this sort of back and forth of the group, the audience together being sort of feeling themselves as another emergent body in that space. Being able to, because the composition has these like micro and macro going in, going outside through these layers you created, we're able to experience that as emergent bodies ourselves. And then you added the water, so we were even going inward more.
Yes,
so,
yeah. But it's funny, because what at first seemed to be a problem, you know, because I thought maybe we are not going to be able to hear very well the composition, or it's going to interfere with all the sounds. But then when I heard it, when I experienced the sound installed here, I thought it was wonderful, because it took you out and in of the body. That's the intention of the work as well. So, and it almost seemed that the bus was coming in the right timing, where, and then there were some of the, in one of the performances, there was someone ringing at the door, and I was like, oh, I didn't remember to put this on, because it's good to be open and to these surprising things of our work.
When your work is about these worlds, these are not controlled worlds.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to be open. There is that theory, or it's not so much a theory as a perspective, that the body is an archive as well, of a sort of storing everything that has happened to it, not just the brain, but cellular memory, scars, which especially in creative fields is extremely important. I do believe that it's important to have a foundation and a sense of foundational works and techniques and tools, but you also need to have exposure to where those techniques and tools have also led us as creative beings. They've led us to mixing different media. They led us to take technical machines that were, you know, usually created for another purpose, often in the sciences, and led us to explore and experiment and poke and prod and test and break and reinvent them.
To
create what we now consider foundational fields. So, you know, it's part of the, we don't lose those traditional forms. We continue. And I mean, we are an overpopulated world. We have a lot of humans and a lot of young humans and a lot of artists. Give them more tools. Give them more means to explore and test and challenge and poke and prod and play, you know, for the benefit of us all. They should not be doing all the same thing, because that would just mess everything up. So exposure to a work like Mariana's that they can experience from the inside of, that they can really be, to use the words that everyone's trying to avoid, suddenly immersed into. To have a work that also kind of lays the creative practice and process of the piece out for them, to be able to look at the drawings as scores while they hear the piece, to have Mariana performing, literally interacting and having almost a strange conversation with the work itself, and then to have them served water to be a part of the performance. I think that for many of them, if not all of them, was not only inspirational, but like opened up worlds.
Of course, I want to share thinking. I want to think with others. And sometimes there's no words to express a new perspective of something that you are trying to research, because I think with my practice, I think with the materials, with the experiences, recording things and trying to organize the material that I have, and I discover new things and new images and new perspectives of the words of us and of the world. When that happens, it's really exciting for me, the process of discovering through the work. So when that happens, I want to share what I have seen, what I have discovered. So, and the performance is a way of making it happen, and the sense of presence, of sharing thoughts, I think it happens in a performance. Most of the times, the intention is to give space to share thinking.
Oh, I would say because it's the type of work that I think can reach and be experienced by anyone. I mean, really anyone. Like, if you are, because it's not just one thing, it's truly an intermediate piece. If you are deaf or near deaf, there's so many elements you can experience of this work, including even the sound, in the sense that Mariana works with such a different frequency range that you can feel a lot of the low frequencies. So someone who hears differently can still experience sonic elements along with all of the other multimedia, multisensorial pieces. Someone very young will be very interested because there's always just enough to just experience if that's what you want to do. Someone very old can also do that, but also can think about the elements that bring up memory and shared lives. And it is that kind of, it's not everyone's goal. It's not the goal of every project to necessarily reach such a wide range, but I think it was for you, and it's so successful in that, you know? I think even someone who doesn't give a shit about art is going to be like really happy to experience this. Really? Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if I can say that.
Yes, and of course, it's an obvious issue to say that we are all part of the same nature, and it's all the time a question of scale, the way that we see each other as a collective materia, and that we come from the same place, which is our mother's belly. And it seems like sometimes it can be a cliche because it's so basic, but to experience this thought in a different way, it can make you understand better in a different way the basic, you know. I think
what started the piece, the death of your friend, is personal, but that's also universal. It's yes. Something that if we haven't experienced, we will experience.
Yes.
We won't experience what you experienced, but we will experience the event in our own way. And that's what makes the universal. I think your piece captures both the sense of the ins and outs of these shared spaces between the personal and the universal, what do you call the social
anthropophony.